Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh man, if you want to revisit season one of The Worst Idea of All Time, when Tim just sounds so sick, like so audibly nasally as a result of just so much snot and mucus being in my system, boy howdy, have you come to the right place, listener. This is episode 23. We're in, let's refer to this as the Twisted Time Zone. I wish it was a trilogy. I think there's about 5 or 6 episodes where guys traipsing around the world right now, and the majority of the time I have to get up in the middle of the night. So this is in that oeuvre. I tell you what, I might sound sick, but I'm happy to be there. I'm happy to be learning more about the world and through Guy and his adventures and this outsider, Matt, Guy's friend. I don't know a damn thing about Matt. I would love to know what Matt's up to now. I'm going to ask Guy for a Matt update. But is it? Yeah, we got a cute little episode here. Guy's in Copenhagen. Tim, me, from 10 years ago, is in his Auckland flat in the middle of the night, quietly recording a little episode. A man who refers to Foley, which is what movie audio is called, is Folio, which is adorable. And yeah, look. Just rip into it, I reckon, eh? Listen to this episode as I intended, which is in the middle of the night, under the covers, unless it's too hot, with headphones in, like you're sneaking around, trying not to wake everyone up.
Captain's Log, episode 20. Guy, what episode are we up to?
23, Tim.
Captain's Log, episode 23. It's 1 in the morning local time in New Zealand, and I've just seen Grown Ups 2 again with my friend Guy Montgomery via the internet, who's currently in continental Europe. Guy,
I'm coming to you live from Copenhagen. It is currently 14:57 hours. It's a sweltering sort of, I'd say it's pushing 30 outside. It's muggy.
Is that 30°C?
I'm sweaty.
30°C. What kind of, if you had to guess the humidity, what range would you put it at?
Captain? I'd put it over 50.
You're the captain of the ship.
I'd put it over 50. We're co-captains.
Yeah, we're both the captains of this ship. This is our vessel.
I feel like this ship is going down. That was, for me, that was a bad, I know we probably say this every week, but that was after, like, in Berlin, I was into it. Not today, man.
Dude, I loved this watch, and I'm not saying that in any facetious manner. I got into it, this watch. Something happened for me.
Okay, tell me about it.
Well, you know how we've got our no phones rule while the movie's playing?
Yeah.
I must admit I disregarded that for a portion of the film, and I went on IMDb, which I'm surprised I hadn't done earlier, to look at Grown Ups 2. And I found out that we've got way more knowledge about the film than IMDb does. And at some point, you and me should go through and redraft the page. Because, like, even the plot synopsis that they've got isn't correct.
What's inaccurate?
I'll just try and bring up the plot synopsis. And the goofs that they've got in there are so low level. Like, we've got way better goofs, but they've got really odd, specific ones.
Well, all the diehard Grown Ups 2 fans out there will be absolutely over the moon when they check the IMDb page again to make sure someone's updated it. And lo and behold, we will have.
But boy,
will
their faces be red when they figure out that two Muppets from New Zealand schooled them on Grown Ups 2 knowledge. So here's the synopsis as it reads on IMDb. After moving his family back to his hometown to be with his friends and their kids, Lenny finds out that between old bullies, new bullies, schizo bus drivers, drunk cops on skis, and 400 costumed party crashers, sometimes crazy follows you. But there aren't even 400 costumed party crashers. Because the frat boys aren't in costume.
That's a really bad synopsis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I actually watched the movie. I'm staying at my friend Matt's house, and he watched it with me just now.
Mm.
And about an hour in, he kept checking how far into the movie we were. And an hour in, he said to me, "What's the plot of this movie?" And I said, "What do you think?"
Never a good sign, an hour into a film.
And he said, "I don't think it has a plot." And I said, "That is correct. That is the plot."
You've won the game.
And then when I got to the party scene, I was like, this is the climax. And he didn't say or do anything. He was just like, it just bounced off him. Like, I don't give a fuck. It was so fucking stupid. I like spent about probably 20 minutes of that movie just with my eyes shut. And I stumbled into the realization, I think a way that I might be able to enjoy it would be if someone reanimated the whole thing. So it wasn't a live action movie. It was like a... sort of like a CGI, not CGI, like a Toy Story style animation. I don't know what it would do to the movie. It would just be a nice change of pace.
Well, maybe when you come back, we'll get some mushrooms and it'll be as if it has been animated for your pleasure.
Yeah, man.
Can I read
you out to do something big.
Can I read you out a list of the plot keywords that IMDb has listed for Grown Ups 2?
So you can.
I think these are user submitted, but in no particular order. Party. Voyeurism.
Yeah, I agree with
sexual
that one.
Sexual desire. What?
Who's living voyeur? Where's the voyeurism?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm going to critique each word. So you say it, and then I'm going to say what I think about it.
Okay, cool.
So I don't know. I don't know where the voyeurism is.
Sexual attraction.
Yep. Yep. It's quite a lecherous film.
Lingerie.
Yep. That features.
White.
White
panties. White panties.
Who has... Oh, no, yeah, there's... I wouldn't say it's a plot point, but you do see some white panties at one point at the car wash.
Reference to Nicki Minaj.
What is this?
I'm not kidding.
They're taking the piss on this IMDb page.
Three-word title.
Man, we could do a really great overhaul. We could do the world a great service.
One of them is fisty cuffs. Oh, Jesus. But,
man.
Dude, I've got... Sorry, you go.
Okay, I actually, right after the movie finished, before we started recording, I quickly looked up Grown Ups. I've never done that before, on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
To see, because I finally reached breaking point. You know when Colin Quinn does that big motivational speech? He says, "Lenny Feder went to Hollywood, made big bucks, probably more than you brainiacs will ever make put together." And you've always said, "I think that's unrealistic. Surely an army of university students cumulatively will make more than Lenny Feder." I thought, yeah. But, I mean, what was this lucrative career he had in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Do you want to guess what he was doing?
Because this is...
I don't think that that's accurate what Colin Quinn was saying at all.
Before you say what the career is, I'd just like to point out that the reason we don't know is because despite the fact that we've seen Grown Ups 2 23 times, we've seen Grown Ups 1 no times.
Zero times. Maybe that's what will kick life into the film. When I come back, I think we should do a double screening. I'm so excited to watch this movie with you again, like in person.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be
good. I'm finding it really hard not having you there. I'm finding it so tough.
This is a tough project that we're on, mate. And I'm calling it a project. I don't know if that's an overambitious description of what we've got ourselves into.
It's a constantly evolving beast.
But anyway, so his career. Can I take a stab and then you tell me the right answer?
Yeah.
Was it soundtracking? Was he a Hollywood soundtracker for movies?
It's not lucrative. I don't know what the pay is for that, but I don't think that would be lucrative enough. No, he's not that. I'll give you three guesses now, too.
A director? of films?
No, not a director of films.
A casting agent of movies.
Getting warmer. You keep going. You're getting closer.
That's three. That's it. Just you tell me. Okay.
Well, I thought it was going to be a screenwriter.
Mm.
I don't know why. He was a talent agent. He was a top Hollywood talent agent.
It's basically what I said.
You said casting.
What's the difference?
Well, casting agent makes it sound like he's in charge of casting films. A talent agent makes it sound like he's in charge of a talent.
Touche, Monty. Touche.
Yeah, it's an airtight argument I'm throwing at you.
Absolutely. So, how, like, does it kind of reference how rich he was? Like, how much money did he make?
Nah, it doesn't. And I found out so much information. I pretty much read the whole plot. I actually didn't read the plot, but that they all reunite. There were five in the first one. Rob Schneider was, like, the same level as the others in the first one. Rob Schneider turned his nose up at the second one. Yeah. And they won a basketball tournament in 1978, that team. So Chris Rock, Kevin James, David Spade, Adam Sandler, and Rob Schneider. And their coach died. And so they all reunited at a lake house to mourn the coach. And then they all learnt heaps about themselves and their families and sort of... And it had Norm MacDonald in the first movie and someone else. And, like, they lost a lot of good people out there in between grown-ups and grown-ups too.
Schneider's a great man. There's no getting around it.
Well, you know, it's a weird feeling.
You know he's Buddhist, eh? He's hardcore Buddhist. I've interviewed him once, long form, for like 20 minutes.
Was he a good guy?
He's kind of weird, to be honest. He's pretty freaky, but he's nice enough. But all of his answers were very kind of rote learned and pre-formed from chat shows that he does.
I listened to his WTF podcast with Mark Maron. I thought it was great.
Oh, I've missed that one. I haven't heard that.
He used to be a dynamite stand-up, apparently. And I actually used to watch his movies. I've watched The Hot Chick and The Animal more than once.
Don't forget Home Alone 2, mate. No one has ever played a hotel concierge like Rob Schneider.
But it's not his movie, Home Alone 2. That's Macaulay Culkin.
Well, he's a scene stealer, so it pretty much is his movie, I think you'll find.
Well, that would make this John Lovitz's movie that we just watched.
Correct.
Or the baby's movie. Do you want to do your shining light?
Yeah, bro. It was the folio in the bus at the start.
The folio?
Yeah, the background sound of the kids. I thought it was very accurate.
You thought that's what a bus sounds like?
Well, I'm wearing headphones for the watch this week to keep the noise down because it's the middle of the night and I've got flatmates. So the sound was very important for me. And I went, shit, that's some good folio on that bus scene. That really does sound like teenagers on a bus.
That's good.
How about you?
It was a moment where Chris Rock did some really good acting because he doesn't do a lot of that in this movie. He was pouring the, you know how when his wife forgets their 20th anniversary and he's like, oh, I'm going to go full gangster. I'm going to have all this Pepsi at dinner. And then, so there's that shot of him at the dinner scene when he's pouring two cans of Pepsi into a pitcher and he's smiling. The direction was obviously, I want you to really, like, convey how happy you are to be having this Pepsi at dinner. And he's got this look on his face, which is just, it's so on the fucking nose for how happy he, you know, given the information we've received earlier in the film, he is to have the Pepsi.
I would describe the look on his face because I know it well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Having seen the movie once or twice now, is childlike delight. Like when you're a kid and you get something that you really have a hankering for, like ice cream. Yeah.
It was pure glee. And I wanted to reach through the screen and pat him on the back. I can just, like the whole, after the take, the director would have gone, "That's a buy. We've done it." I like to think maybe that was the last scene they shot. And he goes, "That's a wrap, everyone." And Chris Rock's like, "Thank fucking God." Because I had some fun on some days of this movie. But just quietly between you and me, Dennis. Dennis is the name of the director. I think this might be a dud.
But oh, how wrong you are.
Yeah.
Imaginary Chris Rock. Because the movie went on to make millions, tens of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Tens of millions.
Hundreds.
The budget was 80.
They made 230 million, didn't they?
Oh, shit. Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, I'll check that at some point.
I feel like that's right.
Hey, listen, I've stumbled onto something on this watch, Guy, and this is part of the reason why I was so excited about it, because I started really getting in there, started really digging around. And I've discovered that Adam Sandler has hidden in plain sight a metaphor, a recurring motif, which is about his life within the confines of the film. Now, you'll notice that a lot of people hit the water really hard in this movie. There's the Taylor Lautner scene, the initial scene with the frat boys, where all of our main characters have to strip naked and throw themselves off Suicide 35, and they all hit the water hard.
Suicide 35 off the top rock. 35 feet. My mom did that jump when she was pregnant with me.
That's it. That's the one. So they all have to, like, jump off, and they all hit the water very hard in different ways. And then at the end of the film, two more people hit the water really hard. Officer Dante and Shaq. And all of them, if you'll notice, flop onto the water. And it made me think that it's a metaphor for all the shit films Adam Sandler's done, which have been critical flops, and some of them commercial flops, and how they hurt him. But the last thing that we see related to this is Shaq, who pees in the water and just kind of accepts it and feels really good about it. And I feel like that's a symbol for Adam Sandler just being okay with the fact that his movies suck now.
So Shaq is, but Shaq embodies this realization. I tell
you what. Because he's like the final stage of it.
It's interesting to hear. I'd say it's definitely something you wouldn't find before the 23rd watch. It's something that hasn't occurred to me. The good thing about having Matt watch the movie with me was just seeing him, the occasional guffaw, a genuine guffaw, at certain moments. He laughed when the baby goes, "Oh, that's cold," which sort of made me realise that is actually funny, because James Acaster thought that was a good bit too.
Oh yeah, gets you the first time, because it's so unexpected that a kid that small could deliver a line so well.
Yeah. Another thing which made the movie slightly more tolerable is I took something called snus. Have you heard of snus before, Tim?
Is it a drug, Guy?
In a sense, it's tobacco. It's a Scandinavian, I think it's Swedish. They give you tobacco in these little pouches. It's a little pouch. I'm holding one up on screen now. You can't see it at home, but Tim, you can see that little pouch?
It's very small. It's about the size of your thumb.
You put it between your gum and your lip, and it sort of gives a slow release of tobacco. It stings quite a lot at first, but it becomes very relaxing. And so I've just put one in, so I might become slightly more relaxed through the second part of this.
What are you doing, bro?
I'm just getting by. I'm just trying to get through a day. I'm on holiday.
You've resorted to tobacco abuse, nicotine addiction to get you through the podcast,
in a sense, but only while I'm here in Denmark. And by the way, Denmark's beautiful, if you're curious.
I was, and thank you. Can I
Yeah, now you go.
No, you go. Tell me about Copenhagen. Tell me about your beautiful paradise holiday.
Well, it's funny because it is genuinely a beautiful paradise holiday, but you only get to see me at my lowest ebb. So it sounds like it's ringing hollow when I tell you how much I like it, because it always comes on the back of watching this fucking movie.
Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't believe you. It's that I'm insanely jealous that you're in Europe and I'm in the middle of a Greyland flat, freezing cold at night under the duvets, watching Grown Ups 2 on a 100-inch screen by myself.
Yeah, I was really pleased that you wanted to do it. I was impressed, actually, that you did it this late.
I did it for the people.
Do you think doing it this late at night impact you watching? You know how your brain sort of changes?
It's going to impact work that I've got tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Look, I don't give a fuck about your work.
I know,
like, you don't. Cause you know, late at night, your brain goes kind of loopy. You've got a different brain from what you do during the day.
Definitely.
Do you think that contributed to your happiness?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Can I read you some of the gaffes that they've put on IMDb? Like, they're ludicrous. They're ludicrous.
You can do this. Have we noticed them before?
Some of them, no. But this is like, okay, this is the first one. The first time Kurt, and first of all, they call him Kurt, a name which
Chris Rock
is never given in the film if it's taken in isolation away from the first one. So it starts. The first time Kurt drives the Ford van, it makes the starter and transmission sounds of a Dodge Caravan. The second time, the exhaust sounds like a four-cylinder engine, even though the van has 8 cylinders.
Well, I noticed that. I just didn't think it was worth bringing up.
That is so deep. And that is the first one. That's the first error that's on there. Other ones include apparently Shaq's radio on his shoulder during the first encounter swap sides.
I would have liked to have noticed that one organically without the help of the internet.
This is my favourite one, bro. This one's so good. The title bout worn by quote-unquote Hulk Hogan at the 80s party was in fact the WCW world title known as the Big Gold Belt. This would not have been the belt worn by Hogan in that time period, as he was the WWF champ and their world title was the famous Winged Eagle. So they got the belt wrong on the costume on the lady coming as Hulk Hogan.
That could be a very specific sort of character facet to that lady, that maybe she got it wrong. Not so the movie didn't get it wrong, but the character within the movie got it wrong. So I think we should probably, if we do get our fingers in there on the IMDb page and make some changes, I think we should delete that goof.
Fair enough.
Because that was probably, I feel like this movie was approached with the care and detail that was an important character point.
Tell you what they don't have on there listed under continuity is your great raft call that the raft changes in many shots. The raft is a
hot mess right throughout.
Certainly is. They never really got a good grip on the continuity to do with that raft. And the other one for me, a biggie, is the school bus stops outside the window when Nick flies into that small shop building thing. You can see it. It's ground to a halt, which is physically impossible at that kind of speed.
Why? Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just got good brakes.
No. It's like completely stationary directly outside where he skipped out. It cannot be done, mate.
Because I've never noticed that as a flaw in the movie. I'm so absorbed in Nick's roly-poly.
And you would be. I'll tell you what as well, man. I know that we say a lot about how shit the background fighting is in the party scene, but I saw stuff tonight that I'd never seen before. Like, there's so many people who, someone walks up to someone and grabs their hand to put on their head, to grab their hair, and like, just, it's so shit, man. There's some really bad stuff going on.
Matt, when we were walking back to the apartment yesterday, we walked past a bar on the street here that they were shooting some sort of music video. Like, there were a whole lot of sort of young people who looked like that. We walked past to go to breakfast, and then a couple of hours later when we were walking back, they were on break. And Matt made the good point that he'd love to be doing a music video just to see, like, after 10 takes, they have to provide the same energy and excitement as though they're just getting to the party, or the party's still popping off, even though the people who are acting like the party's going well are exhausted.
Yeah.
And I think this is the exact problem we ran into with that fight scene. Because there's so much fighting to choreograph, and I mean, they're actors, but they might not have gone to the fight training. And so, I guess it just took so long that the people were just so fucking tired, and Dennis Dugan was so tired, and they just wanted to shoot that Chris Rock scene so they could wrap the whole film.
I love that you've now attributed that as being the last thing that they shot because it was kind of good.
It was the last thing I really remember.
Yeah.
I've got nothing left to say about this movie right now.
Guy Montgomery, I don't know how much more can be said about Grown Ups 2, but we'd better think of something because we've got another, how many? Almost 30, 29 episodes.
Hey, that feels nice. We've dipped under the ominous up 30 views to go.
Next up, 50% complete, mate. But as I think we may have brought up in the last podcast, it's going to get progressively harder each time. So like 50% isn't 50% because the more we watch it, the harder this gets. 50% will be at about 70% done.
I think we should start counting backwards. So I think 20, it goes, I've said this before, I'll say it again. We get up to 26 and then we go 26, 25,
cool.
24, because then it's counting down to freedom.
Cool.
Freedom!
I was all right this time, but I'm really fucking worried about the next one. Really worried.
Well, I'm going to have to watch this, because we've still got one owing, so I'm going to have to watch this thrice in Copenhagen. It's a crying shame.
Jesus Christ.
Danish people are so good looking.
Yeah?
Holy shit, yeah. All the dudes and all the ladies are all just attractive.
And, that's and good. They're fucking tall, good. Eh?
And everything runs well here. This is a great. They've figured a lot of stuff out here in Denmark. Do you know it was voted the most livable city, Copenhagen, 2 years running,
sure.
According to some survey.
So what's the downside?
It's also been the best cycling city for the last 3 years. They've got these huge cycle lanes on the side of the road, which are almost the size of a road.
Just it's populated amazing. By these attractive cycling beauties.
Yeah. They all take really good care of themselves. The downside, I don't know. The downside, I suppose, in theory, you'd probably say it's the winter. It gets dark, sort of very, it's always dark, pretty much.
Taxes? Taxes high there? Is it expensive living?
Taxes are high, but everyone's getting the benefits. Healthcare for one and all.
You're a commie guy. That's why you're loving Copenhagen, your home. Your home and your Marxist paradise. You've found it.
I am. I'd live here happily. In fact, I'm leaving this podcast. I'm going to go out into the street.
We should all leave. I should go to bed. You should go to Copenhagen.
I don't see. We should. Why don't we all go our separate ways? I don't see any of these conversations working out for me.
All right, mate. I'll see you at the next watch. Pray for us.
Okay. God.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.